With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. We're also brought to you by the SGPN Thanksgiving Free Roll. Everyone who hits a football bingo in our contest will win $100 cash and a $100 gift card to the SGPN store. Enter exclusively on the SGPN app.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Tylan Jenkins, joined with our host. We got Ryan Gilbert and Joel Meyer. We got a successful 3-0 Ryan Gilbert. Gentlemen, how the hell are we doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Finally back on the winning track here. It's a short week here in America with Thanksgiving on Thursday. So, yeah, everything going well in my world.
I'm doing all right. We got the World Cup started. First game today was at 5 in the morning. I slept through that one. It's England, Iran. England beat the shit out of the Iranians 6-2, so didn't miss much there. But glad it's going on, and yeah, just ready to get into some Monday hockey, rare big game slate here. So let's get this done so I can start watching.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, buddy. For myself, I'm doing good, yo. Nothing too much, just kind of chilling here in Toronto. Have watched zero soccer. Might actually try and watch some. Who knows? We'll see. Somebody can give you some picks or a team to get behind. Maybe I'll do that. I'm not cheering for Canada. I think they're going to get fucking shit pumped, but who knows? All right, everybody. Go check out the sports.
No.
What do you think? What do you think we're going to do good?
No, you have been watching something. Didn't you watch something yesterday?
I forgot. Argos. Let's fucking go. Toronto Argos winning the Grey Cup in dramatic fashion. My heart was pumping. I hit my over. I hit the Argos plus 190 as well on the money line. I hit the Argos plus 5.5 on the spread. I was fucking killing it. This team was so fucking sick. My heart was rushing last night. What a fucking game, boys. Did you watch any of it or no?
I watched most of the second half because the Cowboys were stomping the Vikings. So I switched to the R Sport, and it was worth it. That was a really fun game.
Yeah, man. Right, guy, do you watch any of the CFL Grey Cup champions down there in Philadelphia?
I was out running errands yesterday, so no football action for me.
Okay, fair enough. Shout out to the Toronto Argos. Awesome of them to bring a championship to the city. That's pretty cool. Thank you for reminding me, Mr. Meyer. All right, everybody, go check out the Sports Gambling Podcast Network website. That's the place to be. All the sports going on, especially with World Cup coverage. By all means, go there. Check out some articles. Check out all the other shows. All the sports going on, man. College football, college basketball, NFL, NBA. Obviously, hockey's doing its thing. Best time of the year, baby. Best time of the year unless you're a baseball fan. So get your ass to the Sports Gambling Podcast Network website. That's the place to be to win some money. As well, shout out to all of our friends and pals in the Discord. Lots of familiar faces in the Discord. Maybe some that we're kind of weary about. Maybe being a ghost account or two. But awesome to see that place popping off. People are winning money. There is lots of new faces and lots of good friends in there, too. So shout out to all of our friends and pals in the Discord. If you're not in the Discord yet, I don't even know what to tell you, man. Get your ass in the Discord. You're losing money.
And Discord's been great. Some great chatter in there, getting some questions for future shows. So definitely check out the Discord. And also make sure you are subscribed to the Hockey Gambling Podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast. And leave us a 5-star rating and review so I have something to read at the end of the show, like I may have this show.
Do we actually have one? That's cool.
We do.
Yeah. sorry to ruin the surprise. All right, we're going to go into our Lock Dogs totals from last week. Okay week altogether. Ryan fucking killed it. He went 3-0, up 4.12 units. Myself, I went 2-1. I was up 1.92 units. And Joel, he had a little bit of a tough go, but he's been killing it, so he can fucking afford it. He's went 1-2, down 2.13 units. Rye guy, big 3-0 effort. Fucking kick us off, buddy. What do you got?
Yeah, it was last Thursday. Kept it simple. Bruins, puck line, minus 120 at home against the Flyers. Flyers made it close there towards the end, but 4-1 final, so... That was good. My dog, Devils, plus 125, got it done in overtime in Toronto. So good dog hit there. And then my total was Canadians team total over 3.5 plus 120. Wasn't sure how to play this game, play just the over in the game or bet on the Canadians or take the team total. I'm thankful I took the team total because they did not beat the Blue Jackets, but they did end up scoring 4 goals with 2 in the third period there.
For myself, I made 3 picks, but there's only one I'm really going to talk about here because the Carolina Hurricanes had a post-game win expectancy of 90%. If we convert that to odds, they were a minus 900 favorite. Yet I bet them at minus 125 on our show here, and I would bet them again 10 times over. If I saw the stats after the game without knowing the score and I saw that they had a 90% win expectancy, which converts to minus 900, I would have put my whole frickin' life savings on that shit. All the money I have left over from my Canes to make the playoffs minus 500 bet, I would have put it all on this game. Minus 900, and they lose. I mean, Pavel Francouz was insane. He saved 46 of 48 shots. It was a record in terms of a team losing. Yet outshooting the opponent by like 30 plus shots. I don't remember the exact.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was all one way traffic. There's no way the Avalanche would have won that game. Good for them. Good for us. You know, the Avalanche win. So if you're going to lose a bad beat like that, make sure it's at least your team winning. other than that, I had the Flames plus 105. That was not a good bet. That was a bad bet. The Lightning were the better team there. And then the Canadiens Blue Jackets over 6.5. That's just an autoplay. Blue Jackets overs. They always cash. Basically the same bet that Ryan had for the most part. The Blue Jackets won, but the game went over.
All right, for myself, for my lock, that hit for me. I had Pittsburgh moneyline against Minnesota minus 110, basically a pickup from two teams that were struggling. I just fancied Pittsburgh as the better team, man. I always have from the start of the season. They ended up getting it done for me. I think it was a 6-4 final. Lots of goals in that game. For my dog, this was so fucking greasy. I had the Washington Capitals versus St. Louis plus 100. St. Louis was on the second night of a back-to-back. They came out strong, but you could tell as the game kind of wore on third period, it started to get a little bit linguine-legged, a little tired out there. That's an official term, by the way, linguine-legged. Washington came back to fucking tie it, man. They were down 4-2. They brought it up to a 4-4. Ended up losing in overtime, I believe. So close, but no cigar for the Caps. For my total, though, all year long, baby. Leafs unders. Leaf under 6 plus 110. Leafs, New Jersey. I think it was 3-2 final in overtime, so that hit for me as well. Yeah, that covers it. Adboy, what's up?
Overall, a winning day for us, or winning show. We went 6-3, and if you want to win some bets, why don't you check out WinBet? WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Win Rewards on WinBet. Be on the lookout for the WinBet Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WinBet Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WinBet, giving you a larger payout opportunity. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WinBet has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, bet $100, win $100. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or somebody knows a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
I might need that number again. I'm currently sweating out a fucking first quarter spread in some Uruguay basketball to try and pump the account for the games tonight. So I might need that number.
You're not going to watch soccer? You're going to bet that?
I will not be watching that. All right, but I'll tell you what I will be watching tomorrow. We got a two-game slate for Tuesday, November 22nd. What a fucking banger. Truth be told, these games kind of stink, but we're going to go through them anyways. Boys, two-game slate, Tuesday, November 22nd. Are we ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
No big old yeah on that one? Just a little baby one?
It's a two-game slate. What do you mean to do?
It's a two-game oh, yeah. I get it. All right, kicking things off at the 7 p.m. talkie. We got the Buffalo Sabres against the Montreal Canadiens. The game itself is in Le Montréal de la Habitant, Le Belle Cynthia. Buffalo on the money line sitting at minus 105. Montreal on the money line sitting at minus 115. Over-unders at 6.5 here. Overs paying off minus 115. The under, minus 105. Boys, Buffalo's been falling off lately. Obviously, we know they started strong. They do got some talent on that team. That Tage Thompson's a fucking stud, man. That guy's so good. But yeah, I got to go with the Habs here, man. Like, the Habs have been playing decent. Buffalo's fallen off a bit. On paper, I kind of think Montreal's even the better team, even though neither teams are really too much to write home about. So we'll be on the Habs. If I did have to pick an over-under, I'm just going for goals here, man. This is a shit game. Hope somebody gets fucking going. Over 6.5, minus 115.
Yeah, not a very exciting game as the only early game at 7 o'clock here on the two-game slate. But you got to go with Montreal, 6-4 at home. Buffalo's 3-5 on the road. Buffalo's lost 8 in a row now. Montreal got that win against the Flyers, comeback win. I think Caulfield tied it in the final seconds, and they won in a shootout. They've won 4 of their past 6 now, so I think them at home minus 115. I already bet that, and for the total, I would go over. I think both of these teams don't have good defense. They do have some top talent like Caulfield, like Thompson, so they should be able to score some goals.
I'm gonna go the same way with the over, and more importantly, the Habs at home. Sabres have lost their luster. It happened the last few years, and it's happening again. They get out to a hot start, and then they just fall apart. That shooting percentage did not last. The save percentages have not lasted. We see Eric Comrie is fifth worst now. You know, he had a good start, but now he's fifth worst in terms of goals saved above expected. And Craig Anderson, somewhere around the middle of the league.
He's the oldest. He's just old.
Yeah, let's see. Craig Anderson has 7 games. Comrie has 12. So Comrie is the de facto starter. It's 11, actually. But he's been bad, just been bad. And I don't expect that to improve, at least not for this game. The Habs goalies, they've been okay. Probably playing above their level as well. But at least more consistently. So I like the Habs here to win this at home. And maybe the over 6.5 here, just because it's a Sabres game and they don't play defense. They can't defend the net. And the Habs basically have no defense. So, yeah, give me goals and the Habs in this one.
There's no D in Buffalo, all right? We can't expect them to have D. Or Sabres. They got no fucking D whatsoever, man. They're fucked. All right, moving down to that. Fuck you guys. That was funny. All right, moving down to 10:30 p.m. time slot. We got the New York Rangers against the Los Angeles Kings. Last game on the docket. Game itself is in L.A. Rangers on the money line sitting at minus 115. L.A. Kings on the money line sitting at minus 105. Over-under set at 6. Overpaying off plus 100. The under, minus 120. All right, boys. You got to be on the Rangers here, right? I know they haven't necessarily had the start to the season they want, but they have to be the better team than the Los Angeles Kings. LA's been I don't want to say on fire, but they've been playing well. They haven't really been getting the goaltending. Peterson's been a little bit better than Quick, I think, lately. But, yeah, dude, give me the Rangers here as well. Kind of a greasy play. I'm going to ride the under a bit here, man. Like, Shesterkin's an unreal fucking goalie if he gets to start. If it is Jonathan Quick, I'm a bit biased. You know, he's always been kind of one of my guys, and I trust the guy. I have faith in the guy, and that might be something you see coming up a little bit later in the show when it comes to something we'll be doing when it comes to my rankings. But I'll be on the under 6, and I will be on the New York Rangers money line.
Yeah, I think the under 6 here is the play. It is the first half of a back-to-back for the Rangers, but they're in Anaheim on Wednesday, so they should start Shesterkin against the better Kings team. Yeah, and Shesterkin has been playing well. Both of these teams are in the top 7 in terms of expected goals against per 60. So it should be a low event game with two good goalies. Jonathan Quick only has 8.92 save percentage, but he's better than that. And as far as the side's concerned, LA has lost 2 straight at a 1-3 road trip, but they had a 3-0 homestand last time. I would lean still to the Rangers. I do think they are a better team, but my only bet here is going to be on the under 6 at minus 120.
I guess we're going 2-for-2 on consensus plays for every friggin' bet. yeah, I like the Rangers here as well. These are pretty equal teams in my mind, but the Rangers do have the edge. They're playing a little bit better late. Meanwhile, the Kings, they're still a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde team, but they do a good job of protecting their net, and they're getting some great goaltending from Quick, so I like the under as well. And Shesterkin's getting back on track there, giving up fewer than three goals more often than not. So yeah, I like the under six and the Rangers on the money line here. I like the Rangers a lot better as a team. I think that they'll get better as the season goes along. Whereas the Kings, that'll depend on how their youngsters develop and mature together, and if they can stay healthy, unlike last year where they had half their defense go down. But for this game, Rangers all the way.
All right. That pretty much covers our big, massive two-game slate. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. But that does not wrap up the show. We were like, all right, what are we going to do? Like, we got to do something here. We got to throw together a segment. Are we going to do a fraud or nod? No, it's too early to get into something stupid like that. You know, we're a little bit too early in the season. Keep in mind, though, something like that will be coming maybe around the All-Star break.
Too early in the day, too.
Yeah, early. That's a good point. Not enough fucking drinks. But what we are doing is something a bit more applicable to a gambling point of view. We're doing a power rankings through, what are we through? Like, what, 15, 20 games of the season almost?
Yeah, teams are almost up to 20 games. People say, you know, if you're in a playoff spot at Thanksgiving, you should be good. So, yeah, this is a good week to do it.
That's true. That's kind of the motto in high school is come American, or no, not high school, motto in the NHL, come American Thanksgiving. You pretty much are what it says on the tin. Kind of gives a chance for the water to kind of level out a little bit there. So we're going to go through it, man. I think we each compiled a list of our top 10 power rankings for the season so far as it stands. We didn't really have any criteria to our rankings, so we're kind of just going at it, and I'm sure obviously we'll explain our reasonings for decisions once we get to them. But yeah, are we ready to start things off? Can I get a big old yeah for this one at least, Rye Guy, or what?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, is that Macho Man Randy Savage?
That's inaugural power rankings, oh yeah, right there.
When the HGP power rankings are coming, we're going to be coming up with the finest ones. Oh, yeah, WCW. All right, kick it off number 10. Ryan, you went 3-0. Why don't you start us off here, buddy?
Oh, I'm starting us off here. I first of all, I think our criteria here is the power rankings as of right now. This is not any sort of Stanley Cup power ranking, but just like right now, what I did in my head was, if these teams played each other in a neutral stadium, who would I take? I think that's the basis of my analysis. And we're starting at number 10, which is tough because there's going to be probably a lot of different opinions down here. But my number 10, I made some last minute changes on the fly. My number 10 is the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think they have a good veteran core there. Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Tristan Jarry still good. They're not quite up there, top seven, top five, with some of the true Stanley Cup contenders, but they have the good group there. They have solid advanced stats as well, so I think the Penguins slot in at number 10 for me.
So I'm going to just briefly explain the way I did this, my methodology. You know, I spent hours and hours over the summer, days and days doing this shit, doing a very calculated approach to these power ratings. And once the season got started, I just totally forgot about it, which made the whole thing worthless. Of course, it wasn't entirely worthless. It made me have some good bets at the beginning of the year. But it's really impossible to keep this up unless you have hours a day to dedicate to it. So I kind of did a readjustment today, just a couple hours worth. So basically, what I just did an intuitive approach where I give a team a ranking over like an average team, like Ryan is saying, on an average team in a neutral ice, you could say. Anyway, so the Penguins here are my 10th team as well. They are 15 points above an average team. So yeah, the give me the Pens here. They're a good team. And of course, we're using these rankings to judge how a team is doing right now, so including current injuries. As we'll get into that later with teams more banged up. But the Penguins, they're fairly healthy right now. But they're a 10th ranked team. I think that's about where I had them going in the season. Maybe it's a little lower now. But I like the way that they're playing recently. They had that bad losing streak, but I think that they're going to be a solid playoff team. Especially, once they get in the playoffs, then they go up. But for now, this is just based on who you take in a regular season game if it started tomorrow. So right now, Penguins here, let's say 15 points above an average team, and they're right above the Lightning, who just did not make the cut.
Well, you also have the Penguins 10. We're in lockstep there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, apparently.
But you had the Penguins at 10?
You had the Penguins, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I had the Penguins.
Yeah. I actually had Pittsburgh at 11. They just missed my list. Okay. Where I came in from mine, though, my point of view was like more so how these teams, to me, are going to end up in the season. So I didn't do it from a what we see so far. I more so did it from what I think is going to kind of how it's all going to shake out at the end. If you're looking for maybe future value, in my kind of opinion.
We got the classic HTTP communication here. We're just going off of our own.
Exactly. So we're all doing different. Actually, you two are pretty close by, but hey, but it gives different perspective, right? So that's cool. For myself, for number 10, this might come off to a little bit of a surprise. I actually had the Dallas Stars. I know this team is currently sitting at first in the Central Division. They've had a hell of a good start to the season. To me, the knock against Dallas over the past couple of years has been like, okay, we're, you know, defined defensively, goaltending's been okay, but they're not getting the goals. Well, that has not been the case for this team this year. I think they're second in the league at scoring, first in the league for shooting percentage. The power play percentage is third in the league. Now, that's where I think they're going to drop off a bit. Obviously, this team is getting the goals, but I don't think this is necessarily sustainable for them through a full 82-game season. They're playing well, man. Like, I'm not taking anything against the Dallas Stars here. Maybe they should be ranked higher than 10. But I think in the long run, you're going to see them drop off maybe just a little bit. Now, we said at the beginning of the year, I still do like them on the season, but I just expect to see some of those goal scoring numbers kind of fall off a little bit over the course of an 82-game season. So that's why I have them at my number 10.
Yeah, I think that's a fair look there. I think you'll get my thoughts on them to come.
Mm-hmm. All right, on to number 9 here, fellas.
All right, I guess I'll start it up here again. At number 9, late switch as well. I think I originally had them 10, but 9, I have the New York Rangers. They've been a much better team this season so far at 5-on-5. Still have Shesterkin. Their only real categories they're not doing well in is shooting percentage and save percentage, which should both regress to the mean a little bit. So I think the Rangers right now, they're on the cusp of a playoff spot, 22 points in 19 games, but I think they're playing better than that, and they're a team that's going to be here for the long haul.
So this is where I slotted the Stars at the 9 spot. I have them at 18 points above an average team, and so what you can do is you can actually make your own lines if you have these power ratings. So right now I got the Capitals dead center as the average team, so they're right at 1. So the Stars are at 1.18, and you can calculate that to create a money line, which is right now minus 143 for the Stars in neutral ice. So I mean, this is just ballparking. It's not something I would automatically bet because of it, because these are just trying to quantify my intuitive rankings, but that just gives you an idea of what you can do with these power ratings. So yeah, I like the Stars a lot here. Talon covered the bulk of that. They do have a good power play. Just like last year, they were top five team on the power play. Jason Robertson has been awesome so far with his new contract. He's not slumping. He's not laying down. He's not happy with his money. He's trying to be worth that big contract. So I like the Stars here quite a bit, especially Jake Ott. Is it Jason or Jake?
Jake Ottinger. Fuck, between the two of us, we can't even get this guy's first or last name right.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Ottinger, I think he's third right now in the odds to win the Vezina, and for good reason. He's carried his form from that Flames series into this season, so I like the Stars quite a bit, especially in net there. Peter DeBoer's got this team playing more offensive hockey now too. So yeah, that top line with Rupe Hintz, Joe Pavelski, who doesn't fucking age at all, and Jason Robertson there on the left wing. Those guys are absolutely killing it. And we're even seeing some resurgence from Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, these guys who were kind of bums the last few years. They're showing up now. So I really like the Stars team. That's why they're my 9th best team in the league right now.
All right, for myself, I actually got the Tampa Bay Lightning slotted in here. This is a team that had a slow start. Obviously, everybody knows they played a shitload of hockey over the past 3 years. But I think in the next couple of weeks, you're going to start to hear more from this team. They had a slow start. Like I said, they're currently on a 4-game winning streak. I'm not sure what like the advanced stats say on them, but it kind of seems like from what I've watched, they've been like hovering around the middle of the pack. But this is a team that can turn it on any minute. All you got to do is watch Kucherov on the power play and Stamkos and Braden Point, Victor Hedman, like that alone, plus Vasilevskiy, that alone there. Like that's on a top 10 for me any day, just because of those players, regardless of how they're playing. So I'm giving some credit to Tampa here. I wouldn't be surprised to see them move up higher in this list. Maybe if we do like a midseason kind of one to see where we stand. It's kind of a cool idea. But I got the Lightning settled in here. I think they're going to pick it up in the next month.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going off of the way that you made these rankings, I would have the Lightning like 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that range too. Mm-hmm.
All right, moving down to 8. I do have the Tampa Bay Lightning right here. It seems that we're kind of we have similar teams here, all three of us in these 8, 9, 10 rankings. I mean, you said it there. We're probably buoyed a little bit by their name. If you just look at their stats and stuff, they maybe wouldn't be up this high, but they're in the top half in all advanced stats. Their save percentage is below average at 5-on-5, but Vasilevsky's better than that. So I think the Lightning here at 8 definitely have the potential to – they're going to stay in the top 10 no matter what. They definitely have the potential to move up, though, as the season moves along.
So at number 8, I have what was my number 1 rated team, and that is the Toronto Maple Leafs. They are at number 8 for me. I downgraded them based on how poorly their first line has played for the most part, with Austin Matthews kind of slumping around. He's scoring power play goals, but not doing much 5-on-5. Mitch Marner can't score. He's still making plays, of course, but not up to his level. John Tavares is carrying the team right now. He kind of had an average year last year, we'd say, but he's been their best player so far this year. And you don't want that if you're the Leafs when you're paying those other guys the $11 million or so. So I like
paying Leafs him 11.
Yeah. William Nylander has also been pretty good, but it's basically been the Leafs defense that's keeping them in it. They're in the top 10 team in terms of expected goals against. Goaltending's been a revolving door there with different guys coming in and out and maybe in with the Pizal, whatever his name is.
He never even played. I wish he did. I really wish he did.
Yeah. He played in our hearts, though.
So. Okay, that's got to count.
Yeah, so I think the Leafs will get better once those top guys turn it around. But for now, they're stuck at number 8 just based on how their defense are playing. They're keeping them in it. And yeah, once those goal scorers start turning on, this team will get higher in the rankings, I think.
All right, for myself here, number 8. This is one where I might be reaching a little bit. I don't even know if this team should be on my list, let alone where they currently are slated. But at number 8, I got the Edmonton Oilers, man. Offensively, this team has been clicking, and that's no surprise to anybody, right? Like, they're putting up goals. You got Connor McDavid doing what he does. Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, Jesse Puljujarvi's had a decent start to the season as well. There's a couple guys that are banging and bruising there at Edmonton, but this team can't get a fucking save. Their defensive numbers are so fucking bad. Goals allowed, they're absolutely terrible. I think like 27th. Shots on goal allowed, they're 29th in the league. Their penalty kill has been abysmal. So I don't know, man. If I'm majorly wrong with one pick on this list, I feel like it could be this one. But there's the McDavid-Draisaitl factor too, right? If these guys get somebody playing for them that can kind of stop the fucking puck, solidify a bit of goaltending, and just let them play their offensively-minded game, maybe you'll see them jump up a little bit. With that being said, this is kind of an iffy one for me.
So the Leafs have been getting saves from one of their goalies. That one is Stuart Skinner.
Oh, you mean
Oilers.
What
did I say?
Leafs.
The excellent.
Okay, we're talking about the Oilers here. Okay, Stuart Skinner. He's 5th in terms of goals saved by respect. He has a 93.18 save percentage, which is pretty good.
But meanwhile, my guy has just been shitting the bed.
Meanwhile, Jack Campbell's 4th worst, minus 7.81 goals saved of expected. An 87.32 save percentage, which is absolutely horrific. So, yeah, it's all about Skinner going forward. I think that they got to give him the net full time. But, yeah, you're right that the defense is terrible. I have the Oilers at number 12 on my rankings. And that's basically just because of how good McDavid and Draisaitl are and Stuart Skinner. But the defense is just absolutely terrible. So it's not a complete team. It's not a balanced team. So that's why they didn't make my top 10.
Yeah, I think we talked about it last show, though. I don't think they can give Skinner the net because Campbell has that $25 million contract, $5 million a year.
5 years.
Yeah, so like they have to play him just to hopefully get some value out of that. But if he keeps going bad and Skinner goes well, then yeah, maybe swap him. Yeah,
they're going to play whoever McDavid wants them to play. If they're winning games with Skinner, they're going to play Skinner. They don't give a fuck.
And it's worth noting, guys, like Campbell isn't as bad as he's playing right now. I know his numbers are shit, but like he's not that bad of a goalie. He's not a great goalie, but he's not that bad of a goalie.
Yeah, and playing with a new team, new system, you know, it does take a little bit. So maybe this will be his second half of last year where he's
most of the team played with him on Toronto 2 years ago.
That's true. And maybe in the second half we'll pick it up like he had a good first half last year. But yeah, I had the Oilers. They were 10 originally for me. I knocked them down there into the tier that just missed with some other teams there. But for me, moving up to 7 now, I have Dallas Stars. You got them 10 and 9. I think they're better than that. I think I really like Jake Oettinger. They have great advanced stat numbers, good goal numbers so far. Their shooting percentage is highest in the league at 11.5, so maybe that'll come down a little bit. But yeah, I think the Stars definitely deserve to be in these rankings. Maybe 7's a bit too high. Maybe it should be closer to 9 or 10 as you guys have them. But I think Dallas has been a surprise so far, and they've been a good team to watch.
So my 7th team are the Colorado Avalanche. That's just based off of the current injury status of the team. You know, we're missing Byram and Nichushkin, Landeskog, of course, Sammy Girard. And, yeah, we're really relying on power play and goaltending. Like, goaltending has turned into the strength of this team with Georgiev saving 30-plus shots every friggin' night and Francouz doing the work, too, when he gets a call. So I like where we're at in net, but so far as the rest of the team, it's all about the top line right now. McKinnon's been awesome. Rantanen's been awesome. Those guys have been dialed in. The first power play unit has been terrific, one of the best in the league so far. But 5-on-5 play is average at best right now, which is a big concern. And I think that the Avalanche will make a trade for a number 2 center before the season is done. So I do think that the Avs are still like a top 3 contending team. But for right now, if I wanted to back this team tomorrow on against whatever team, I'm not going to be picking them at any very generous odds here. So I like the Avs here at number 8, or what do I got here? 7, 9. What is this? What are we on?
You're 7. On 7. You said 7. The Avs.
Okay, 4 by 7. Fuck, we made it through 3 picks and then we got figured lost where we were. For my 7th place team, I'm taking a team, and I'm taking them pretty much for the opposite reason that I took the Dallas Stars. I'm taking the Carolina Hurricanes at number 7 here, man. This is a team that's defensively, the metrics have been solid. Obviously, it's tough with Frederik Andersen being injured, but you got to expect Freddie to miss at least one segment through the year. He does that every year. But more so, I'm looking at this team from an offensive point of view. They're not scoring goals, and they got too much fucking talent on this roster to not score goals. The guys like Sebastian Aho, Timo Teravainen, and Vedrea Svechnikov, like those are some fucking heavy hitters, man. Martin Nekas, like, these guys can shoot.
No. Don't you do that. I make fun of the fucking Athletic podcast for calling him Nekas all the time.
What
it's
is
Martin
it?
Martin Natchez.
Okay, I'm going with Nekas.
Nekas.
But this year speaks volumes right here. Their shot on goal, their total, they're 4th in the league, averaging 35.7 shots on goal per game. Their shooting percentage is last in the league at 7.9%. This team is too good and has too much offense, like offensive talent. They're just not scoring goals. And wait till like after All-Star break 2 when Pacioretty comes back. I expect to see that change. So I got Carolina at 7 here, man. I think much like Tampa, maybe you're going to see a lot more from them in the next month or two.
Yeah, I think I saw something too that Pacioretty may come back sooner than that. I could be lying about that though. But yeah, that would be something that the Hurricanes definitely need there for some offensive scoring. Going to number 6 on my power rankings, I have the Toronto Maple Leafs for many of the reasons Joel said. I mean, I don't trust their goaltending yet. Their shooting percentage is lower than it should be. It's 6.33%. That might be lowest in the league at 5-on-5. Their advanced numbers are all below 50% with the Corsi 4, expected goals for, even goals for, just actual goals. So, oh no, I'm looking at the wrong team. Whatever. The Leafs.
what are you talking about?
Who are you looking at?
I was looking at the Winnipeg Jets there.
Oh, okay.
I have it sorted in my rankings next to it. It's a whole mess here. But yeah, the Leafs, they've been doing well with their advanced numbers. It's just goaltending has been one of their key things. And whether it's Murray or Samsonov or the Green Giant in there, I think they're going to be able to be one of the best teams. I think, you know, their name, like the Lightning, does put them up a spot or two, but I think they're still good to be here at 6.
At least number 7 in terms of shooting percentage at the moment. And the Avalanche are in the same area too, so maybe that picks up a bit if somebody other than Rantanen can fucking score a goal. So, yeah, my sixth team are the Florida Panthers. Last year, they would have been a top three team easily, but this year, not quite the offensive juggernaut as they were. Goaltending is actually better this year, I think, but the defense is still just as bad. They're having to play more team defense, which restricts their scoring somewhat. They're a solid team. Maybe they'll be a bit better in the playoffs with Tkachuk in there, and maybe some more of experience. But for right now, I think that this is a solid seventh team or sixth team, whatever we're on. Barkov is an awesome Bergeron 2.0. They're a bit weaker, they're a bit thinner on the depth area. The defense is worse, but they're still a very good team, and I expect them to go on to second round exit. That'd be my projection right now. But they're in the mix for sure.
Yeah, spoiler alert that I completely forgot the Panthers. They'd probably be somewhere in the 7 to 10 range.
How the fuck do you forget a team?
I don't know. I was looking because they've been playing poorly recently. They're not up in the standings.
You got to redo your whole rankings then.
The fans forget them too, so you're not the only one.
That's true.
Okay, for myself, for number six, how am I going to justify this one? I got the fucking 12-game winning streak New Jersey Devils at number six right now. Okay, at number six, and I'll tell you why. This team has been playing absolutely fucking incredible. They've been skating the lights off. This is arguably the fastest team in the fucking league. If you've watched them, they're absolutely incredible. If you look defensively at the metrics, they're probably one of the top teams in the league, to be honest. With that being said, with the defensive roster of fucking Kevin Ball, Ryan Graves, Dougie Hamilton, John Marino, and Damian Severson, and Brendan Smith, do you think that's sustainable throughout the whole fucking year with the goaltending tandem of Vitek Vanacek and Mackenzie Blackwood? I don't think so, man. This team deserves all the accolades they've been getting. They've been fucking hot out the gate. It's a feel-good story. You got to love Devils fans for the whole sorry Lindy chant or whatever. That's awesome, man. Nothing but good vibes and good fucking feels for this franchise. It's awesome to see them doing the start they have. But can they do it through 82 games? I'm not buying it until I see it. Not to say that they can. Like, fuck, they usually can. They're showing they can. But I just don't think they will. So for that reason, I have New Jersey at number six. Maybe slowing down a little bit in the next couple months here.
Yeah, I think that makes sense for your criteria, because they are right now like a top three or four team, but in the grand scheme of things, they're probably in the lower half of the top 10. But have I told you guys how thankful I am for you? We got Thanksgiving coming up. We got a Thanksgiving free roll. And if you like Super Bowl squares, you're going to love what we have for the D-Gens on Thanksgiving. Our friends at Play Action Pools have set us up with a football bingo contest for Thursday's slate. It's simple to join and free to play on the SGPN app. Once you enter, you'll see your unique bingo card on your screen. Whenever a touchdown is scored on Thursday, check your card to see if you have that player. If you do, check the box. And if you get bingo, you'll win $100 cash and a $100 SGPN gift card. Take one of those great products we've been shilling the past few shows. So make sure you check out the Thanksgiving free roll contest in the SGPN app.
Number
still
six.
On me, isn't it? Yeah.
Number
five, halfway through. That's why I did the ad right there. going to number five. I have at five the Colorado Avalanche. I think they are a bit better than Joel. Joel's being a little bit tough on them as being an Avalanche fan, but also he probably watches more games of them than anybody, so maybe he does have a better read. But I think the Avs.
Told you the Carolina Hurricanes had a 90% win expectancy against them.
That's one game. It's a small sample size.
That happens all the time. This freaking team, man.
If it happened all the time, you wouldn't have brought it up in the Locked All Total segment.
I fucking bet the Canes.
No, I know. All right. The Avs, I think they're at five. I think as we go on, as they get healthy, they're going to move up the rankings. But right now, their expected goals are kind of down, but the roster shooting percentage down. They're getting buoyed by their save percentage, 953 at 5-on-5. And their power play has been great, 36.5%. So I think they're still a good team, reigning Stanley Cup champs. They get a little bump for me, but I think five is a solid ranking for them right now.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The Avalanche would be at least a five if we are fully healthy, but like I said, I'm accounting for current injuries. Mm-hmm. But for my number five team, I'm going with the Calgary Flames. They're not getting the goaltending, unlike the Avalanche, with Markstrom not performing like he's supposed to, like he's paid to do, like he's shown he has in the past. He's been pretty damn bad, actually. So Markstrom is currently 18th worst in the league in terms of goal save above expected. That's minus 2.14. So he's right there in the league of Dan Vladar, his backup, supposedly. And Jonas Korpisalo, Tristan Jarry.
Quite the company to keep.
Yeah, Jaro Halak. Schalgren's fucking playing better than him, according to that stat. So, yeah, the Flames goaltending will get better. But more importantly, the depth of this team is still real solid. And they're still working in Johnny Huberto, who will get better throughout the season. He's had a slow start there, but he's shown to be producing a little better of late after getting run out by the coach for taking a shit in the middle of a game.
Did you hear what Sartre said about when people asked him, why is he on the fourth line or third line rather? He's like, oh, well, he's not doing anything on the first other two. So where else do you want me to put him?
Gotta love the honesty, but this is a team that I think is really good. They played the hardest schedule by far. And they finally get to play a bad team, Ryan's Flyers, tonight. Yes. In a couple minutes. So I expect them to get the win there, and hopefully they can get back higher in the standings after having a brutal first quarter of the season or so. So, yeah, I like this team a lot, just the depth, especially defensively. They got all six guys are above replacement level, well above that. So, yeah, Nazem Kadri's fit right in. Like, why the fuck can't Huberto? But anyway. Yeah, I like this team a lot. They're just real solid up and down the lineup, and their goaltending will get better.
I actually don't have the Flames ranked, which isn't just completely forgetting about them, because they did have that huge losing streak earlier. They lost seven in a row. They haven't had many impressive wins yet. Obviously, they're better than they've shown, but just I think right now they don't crack the top 10 for me. They're on paper a top 10 team, a top five team, but like
you're just glorifying the Avalanche, and the Flames beat them. That's not an impressive win.
They
beat the Golden Knights.
That was to open the season. That was early on. They have done nothing since.
It's a whole season, man. You can't just base on the past 10 games. It's a cumulative ranking here.
I actually got the Flames at 12 as well. They're off my list.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
You know what it is, man? Like, I don't know. Like, I've grown up, like, I fucking played a shitload of hockey. I was lucky enough to play a bit of junior. Like, I've been in dressing rooms where you've kind of gotten the vibe that I'm seeing from Calgary, where it's just something's not clicking, man. You can't fucking put your name on it. Like, it seems like it's not even something on ice too. Like, maybe something's just not right there. You got a lot of new turnovers and shit, so they're waiting for somebody to kind of create a culture, as lame as that might sound. But I don't know, that's just from my experience what I'm seeing going on with that team. So that's why I held them off the list. But
yeah, I think right now that they don't crack it. But and yeah, their strength of schedule has been tough. Like, that's you play who you play, and they haven't. Mm-hmm. They've lost more games than they won so far.
Mm-hmm. Not to say they can't jump up, man.
They will absolutely end up in the top 10 by the end of the season, if not by the halfway mark.
So, all right. No, we're going to continue this conversation. No, I'm not done with the Flames yet.
Yep.
So, the Flames are still a top 12 team in terms of expected goals, 4%. Despite playing the hardest schedule by far, the only team that's come close to them is the fucking Coyotes, who are, way at the bottom, number 32. I mean, the Devils have played an easy schedule. The Bruins played an easy schedule. Hurricanes have been legit. They've played a mediocre schedule. Panthers, easier schedule. Gold Knights, they're legit, I think. But the Flames played a hard schedule, but they're still right up there with those teams. So, you got to pay in mind how hard their schedule's been, and once they start playing these easier teams, their stats will reflect that, and they'll go up in the standings. So just bear that in mind, and you guys are fools for counting them out of your top 10. This team is going to be a contending team.
Do you want to put a little...
Well, yeah, they will. Game. No, they are a top 10 team overall in the league, but right now they haven't won many games.
I don't even think they're a top 10 in the league.
They just beat fucking Florida.
No, they are. They absolutely are.
I got them right on the bubble, to be honest.
Yeah, but as a good point here, as Joel pointed out, is they have played a tough schedule. They're going to be better than they have been. So look for that value moving forward if the books don't adjust.
Good point. All right, for my fifth pick here, it's funny. Joel brought it up a little bit earlier with the Philadelphia Flyers here. And they're fucking shit. They're not my fifth pick. I got the Colorado Avalanche actually at number five here. Right where Ryan has them too, actually. I don't know, man. Like, Jolie, maybe you can, based off what I've watched from Colorado, I feel like their power play is just, or it's not a power play, sorry, their penalty kill has been fucking terrible this year, and they're not getting any goals. So I don't know, maybe you can kind of tell me if that's true or not. But I just, I see there should just be so many more people on that team scoring goals, like you said alone. Like, guys just aren't getting it done. You got one fucking guy doing all your scoring for you right now, and you got, you're relying too much on your goaltending. Now, will that change? Will that change enough for this team that they should be ranked fifth in the fucking league? I hope so. But I'm gonna be optimistic, man. This team hasn't given me any reason to not be over the past couple of years. So I'm going to ride with the hot hand. Hopefully they can turn it around there. In Joe Sakic, we trust, bro.
Yeah, they know how to win.
Yeah, like I said before, they're just relying too much on the power play. Penalty kill is getting a little better. They're bonding to, apparently I just read this article, like they're bonding together in this trip here out east, and Andrew Cogliano's been a bit butthurt that the penalty kill has been so bad, but they've been working on that. After that loss to St. Louis, the defensemen got together on a separate practice, so they're working on it. And it'll get better going forward. But right now, I want to wait till I see it, because the second line center is a problem. We can't get much going 5-on-5. So yeah, carry on.
Yeah, I will give you that. That if you look at the Avalanche's lines on Daily Faceoff, they don't look good after the top line. I mean, second line is Newhook, Evan Rodriguez, and Martin Kaut. So it.
Yeah, Kaut is not great. Like, he's a prospect, but he's been a prospect for a while. He's not great.
You should count him out.
Exactly.
All right, going down to the four here. It didn't really matter which order I put these teams in. I got the Hurricanes here. Hurricanes, one of my favorite teams, definitely in the Eastern Conference. They've been top Corsi four, top one of the top expected goals for. Weak power play so far. They don't have the scoring talent, as Talon mentioned, when he has them at seven. I think that'll come. I think they just are a solid 5-on-5 team. They're good coach, good goaltending, even with Freddie Anderson being hurt. So I think Hurricanes here at four, maybe a little bit biased here. Maybe this should be five or six, but I think four is a solid spot for them.
For myself, I'm going with the Golden Knights in the spot at number four. This is a team that's going to cost you some money here. I actually had to bail out on all my Pacific Division futures and just take the loss because I saw what's coming here with the Knights. So that sucked. But it's good to recognize when you're wrong about a team and just get out while you can. And this team is legit. Their goaltending problem was not a problem, apparently. Logan Thompson has been the real deal. He's one of the best goalies in the league so far, and hopefully wins the Calder for that. Bruce Cassidy's come in here, and he's settled this team down. He's got them playing team defense. They're one of the best teams in terms of expected goals against, while still producing stuff on the power play and on 5-on-5 as well. Jack Eichel's been a revelation. He's been probably the third best player in the Western Conference, so far as forwards go, behind McDavid and McKinnon. I really like what this team is doing here. They're really balanced. Now that they got a first line center for once, they can push Chandler Stephenson down. And yeah, this team is legit. And number four, I think, is a good spot for them.
All right, for myself, for number four, gentlemen, I had the fucking Toronto Maple Leafs ranked at number four here, and I'll tell you exactly why. This team is currently 10-5-4 after that abysmal start they had. And now I know people in Toronto like to think that the sky is falling still, but it's not that bad, man. And if you look at the way we've been playing in games, it hasn't necessarily been as ugly. Like, you know, those games, like the New Jersey one's a perfect example. Like, yeah, it's a 2-1 game. We end up pushing overtime. We get the 1 point. Obviously, expectations are higher for this team. But that was a battle, man. The fact that they kept up with that New Jersey game, I actually am impressed with them. This team, too, they're not as bad defensively as everybody thinks they are. Like, I think they're sixth in the league for, like, shots on goals allowed. They're under 30 shots on goals allowed. And they're seventh in the league in goals allowed. And keep in mind, we were playing fucking Eric Schallgren, the Shally Green Giant, and fucking Frank Panucci. Panucci from Panucci's Pizza, Futurama, whatever the fuck his name is. He was backing up for him, for Christ's sakes. Now, everyone's going to be like, okay, but yeah, Jake Muzzin's out for the season. You know, yeah, that sucks. But defensively, and let's face it, he hasn't really played much anyways. that clears up, you know, a good $5.5 million in cap space, and we're going to need it. And Leaf Nations is going to be really pissed off when instead of getting a defenseman, because their defensive numbers are fine, we're going to go out and get Patrick fucking Kane for a playoff push. You heard it here first at half salary retained. Patrick Kane to the Leafs come trade deadline. Leafs are going to move up here. They're going to be fourth in the fucking league. Let's go Toronto, baby.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they fit him in cap space wise, but that would definitely be something.
It's literally the Muzzin money, man. If Chicago retains half, that's it right there. Muzzin's on LTIR. He's done for the year.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Moving down to number three here. I have the red hot New Jersey Devils. They're one of the best teams in the league. They should probably possibly be one or two, but I think the teams above them have more staying power. They've won, 12, 13 in a row now. It's just. It's incredible. I mean, they haven't played a tough schedule, as Joel pointed out, but they have the best expected goals for, 62%. No one else is above 60. Corsi for 58%. They're getting shooting percentage solid, eight save percentage solid. Power play is a little bit below average even, so they could be better than they are. They're not going to keep up this 15-3 pace, but right now they deserve to be in the top three for me.
Yeah, like I said, very easy schedule so far, but it doesn't matter. I think they've been beating the good teams too. They beat Colorado. They beat the Flames twice, who are a very good team, as I said. They also beat the Leafs in a game that they actually more or less dominated. I mean, they had to win it in overtime, but that was a game they should have won regulation. The Leafs were lucky to get a point there. So they are beating good teams, even though the majority of the teams that play are cupcakes, and the stats reflect that. They're number one, number two in terms of Corsi for, expected goals for, expected goals against. They're doing a great job there. Lindy Ruff has had a big turnaround season there. He's got the guys playing his style of hockey, and they're able to defend as a team and individually. So they're able to get their guys going. Like Talon said, they're a super fast team. Leafs could not keep up in that game. And they're getting some goaltending finally. So Vitek Vanacek's come in, and he's been the savior. Because last year, a biggest part of why they didn't make the playoffs is just because of the revolving door in net and how bad all those doors were. so now they have Vitek Vanacek coming in there from the Capitals. I'm not even sure why the Capitals just let him go. I mean, he was a decent goalie for the Capitals as well.
And Samsonov. They let both their starters go, and they kept hasn't really been.
They had to get a Stanley Cup champion. They had to get that character in the room.
Yeah, both goalies are looking all right elsewhere, you know?
Yeah, I thought that was weird. So Vanacek's come in there, and he stabilized the position. And the Devils are a wagon. Like, fucking, let's go.
All right, for myself, for number three, this team might not look like it, but don't forget about it, man. I got the New York Rangers here, except at number three for the year. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. I love this fucking team, man. I'm so bullish on this team. I even got a future bet on them to win the cup, and I still think that it's good odds. Basically, what I'm seeing about this team is kind of similar to what I'm seeing with Carolina. The shooting percentage is so fucking low for the talent. It's 28th in the league. Defensively, they're fine. They're just not getting goals. Will that stay? I don't think it will. They're fifth in the league for shots. They're averaging 35 shots on goal. You got guys like, you know, Kreider, Panera, and obviously younger guys like the kid line that they have there that did so well in playoffs last year. I know this is an off-guard pick, but I really think that we're going to see New York start to pick things up in the later, you know, three quarters of the year here. They're definitely a better team than when they currently stand. And when they got the best, if not the second best goalie in the league, I'll ride with that any day too, man. So I got the Rangers at third here. I'm expecting big things for them for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I don't hate that, especially given your criteria for ranking them, because they are 20-1 to win the cup, I believe, which is some great value compared to these other teams. I had them ninth. I'm assuming Joel did not have them ranked because they're not going to be the top two for him based on his reaction.
They're right above the Wild, and between the Wild and the Oilers, so number 13. So not that far.
Yeah, just outside the top 10 in that honorable mention area. But yeah, that I think end of the season, this could end up being a good pick by Talon there. Right, we got the top two here. Joel went over them. The Vegas Golden Knights are my number two team here. I was also very wrong about them. I owe an apology to Logan Thompson and his entire family. Yeah, I did not think that the Golden Knights had a goalie, but right now I am riding on him to win the Calder. So it's how the tables turn here. It's they've been a good team. Good team 5-on-5. Good. They have three great lines: Eichel, Stevenson, Stone, Marcia, Carlson, Smith. Even Carrier, Roy, Coltsar has expected goals over 50% in 128 minutes. They seem to be just picking up where they left off 2 years ago before all their injuries. Get rid of Pacioretty, brought in Eichel, Stone's there. So I think they're going to be a solid team here the whole season.
So my number two team are the Carolina Hurricanes. Like I said, I had minus 900 to beat the Avalanche Stones. It's both game win expectancy, just totally dominated them. And they had the same kind of result the other day, too, against the Wild. Just got unfortunate to lose that one in overtime. That's just what the fucking Wild do. They're a nuisance. They score a late goal with the goalie pulled, and then shit happens in overtime. Anyway, Hurricanes, they've actually played a harder schedule, but they're still right up there with the Devils. So, yeah, this team is super balanced, much like the Knights. They can roll all four lines, and they're getting some decent goaltending from Antti Raanta. Frederik Andersen had a bad year before he got hurt, too, so hopefully he gets better and healthier and can have some better goaltending play, because they'll need that going into the playoffs. But for now, Antti Raanta has been fine for them, and that's all they need, because they're the best defensive team in the league. They can play team defense with the best of them, and they get a lot of pucks on net. So I really like this team, especially their coach Rod Brind'Amour, who will get these guys going in the playoffs. So yeah, right now number two team is the Carolina Hurricanes for me.
All right, for my number two, I'm right there with Ryan. I got the Vegas Golden Knights, man, and this team kind of shoved it up my hoop a bit as well for all the shit I gave them in the offseason. But realistically, they should have. The talent's always been there. You look defensively, you look offensively. I don't think anybody saw what happened in net, predicted that happening. But yeah, Ryan said it, man. Like, you got to give credit to Logan Thompson, you know, former Brock University grad or player, so that's pretty cool too. My sister went to that school, kind of fun. But yeah, this team's fucking sick, dude. And offensively, they're unreal. Defensively, they're unreal. The talent they have up front's great. But it's more so, it kind of goes back to what I said when I was talking about Calgary, more so on the opposite side. Like, if you look at this team, there's just this glow about them, man. Like, you see them, like, clips of them in the dressing room, and, like, that's what championship teams look like. It's hard to fucking put into words, man, but there's just this feeling when you walk into something like that. It's like, it's the coolest fucking shit. And you see that in Buffalo. You see that guys like Jack Eichel kind of welcomed into them, or not in Buffalo, rather, in Vegas. I see guys like Jack Eichel, like, welcome into the mix and, like, being a fucking significant role. Obviously, he's good enough that he should, but it's just cool to see, man. So I'm pretty high on Vegas this year. And I like the Knights at number two for that exact reason.
So I hope that we have the same team for number one.
I think we all do.
I just want to take that clip from Thailand talking about how the culture and everything in Golden Knights and just juxtapose that with how he was talking about them last January.
Okay, I said the culture from the players' point of view. Nothing to do
okay.
with management.
All right. So you like the players. The management and organization is still shit.
They can all lick my berries.
Right. Yeah. Here.
And then number one, I think we all have, you got to go with the bees till they sting out here. They're 16-2 at the top, one of the best expected goals for, one of the best goal differentials, just clicking pretty much on all cylinders. Got Marchand back earlier, got McAvoy back. I mean, they have three solid lines. I mean, Taylor Hall in the third line with Charlie Coyle.
That's so nice.
It's just insane looking at what they have. They have the perfection line was back together for a little bit. They have Pavel Zacha is producing on the second line. Bruins are just easily the number one team.
For sure. Bruins are going to make me a lot of money based on the faith I had them before the season. And they're consistently executing and maintaining that and fulfilling that faith during the season. So I really like the Bruins here. Like you said, just super deep team. Obviously, they've had an easy schedule, actually number first in the league so far. But they still have a plus 38 goal differential. So they're absolutely slaughtering these bad teams. Let's see the next closest team is the Devils, I think, at plus 26. So they got 12 more goals in terms of the differential than the closest team. So the Bruins are just like dominating these bad teams, which is what you want to see when you have an easy schedule. You don't want to be eking them out one goal, two goals. No, you want to see them fucking slaughtering them, three goals, four goals. And that's what they're doing. So I really like what the Bruins are doing here. And they're Linus Ullmark, I saw, is the favorite right now for the Vezina. So they're getting elite goaltending.
Like 10-1 or some shit, isn't he? It's nuts.
Yeah. And now McAvoy's back. I mean, this team is just loaded top to bottom. Krejci's been this. He's like back in his fucking prime right now.
Right, literally.
Now he's got Taylor Hall in there too. And he's been awesome. Jake DeBrusk is fired up. Like you can't find a weakness on this team. So I really like the Bruins, and let's go Bees. They're going to go all the way this year. I feel it.
Yeah, the Bruins are fucking sick, man. This is probably like the Bruins are the best team in the world right now. They're the best assembled, or they're playing like the best team in the fucking entire world. They're absolutely unreal from the first line all the way down to Taylor Hall and his massive fucking lips playing on line three. This team is unfucking believable, and they're going to be unbelievable all year long, man. Look at what they're doing from a goaltending point of view. And it's not even just goaltending. Like, defensively, they're fucking sick. They're averaging under 30 shots against. Penalty kill has been absolutely unreal. I think they're second in the league for that as well. Even though they do take a lot of penalties, they are still the Bruins, but at least they can kill them off. And they score goals. They fucking score goals, they stop pucks, and they kick the fucking shit out of you. It's been the same Boston thing for the past 15 fucking years. It's what they do. The Bruins are just going to Bruin, man. So it's a great team. It's the best team in the world, best team in the league. It's going to be an absolute shame when they lose to the Leafs in the second round this year. All right, boys, that fucking wraps up the power rankings. What do you think? What are your final thoughts?
I did some quick calculations here. I think I have it correct with the first ranked team got 10 points for all of us, and then down to the 10th ranked team getting 1 point. So we do have some kind of a consensus rankings here. But the Bruins won with 30 points, Golden Knights 2 at 25. Rangers, Talon has that really pretty heavily at 21 point. Oh no, that was with Joel. Hold on, let me recalculate this here. All right, yeah. So Bruins 30, Golden Knights 25, Hurricanes 20, Avalanche 16, Maple Leafs 15, Rangers 10, Stars 7, Flames 6, Lightning 5, Panthers 5, Oilers 3, and Penguins 2.
That's cool.
So I think that's a solid ranking given our three criteria and how these teams are performing so far.
Do you guys want to quickly guess my bottom five teams?
Bottom five teams. All right, that's Arizona bottom.
No.
Anaheim at the bottom.
No.
San Jose. Flyers?
No.
Columbus.
Yeah, so, their injury fuck too. They're gonna have a rough go for the rest of the year.
Yeah, so I'll just say it: Columbus, Arizona, Philly, Anaheim, Chicago, then Sabres in number six.
Sabres sixth worst. That's bold there.
Yeah, if I was to just do like a quick one, I would probably go. I'd go with you with Columbus. I think they're gonna be fucked with all the injuries this last. Columbus. I still think Ottawa sucks. So Columbus, Ottawa, Arizona, Chicago, San Jose. I think they're going to cool off.
Yeah, I'm looking at the expected goals for numbers. San Jose is at 50%. Ottawa's at 51%. That's kind of crazy. But yeah, my bottom five probably be Columbus, Arizona, Anaheim, Chicago, and the Flyers. I mean, it's sad to see Anaheim down there because we want to get some quacking going. They look so bad. they do look so bad.
Yeah. Though I might upgrade the Flyers over the Ducks if this continues. The Ducks are pretty damn bad.
At least they give a shit.
Flyers give a shit, but they're terrible.
The Flyers give a shit. That's what I meant. All right, guys, this was kind of cool, y'all. Maybe come halfway through the year, we'll do this again, or we'll do something similar. Always awesome to hear some of the ideas we've had coming out from the Discord too, so be sure to keep those coming in.
Yeah, we're hopefully doing more shows like this, not just game focused shows, in the next coming week, even in the coming week. So if you have any ideas, check us out on the Discord, sg.pn/discord. Throw it in the hockey channel there. You can follow the Hockey Gambling Podcast Twitter account at hockeysgpn. Reach out to myself or Talon on Twitter. We'll give those end of the show. And make sure you are subscribed to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on your preferred podcast platform. If that's Spotify, you can go to sg.pn/hockeys. If it's Apple, go to sg.pn/hockey. And leave us a 5-star rating and review, just like Sweet Lou12 did. 5 stars, making money. Was doing all right just side betting on NHL, as I prefer to play NFL mainly. I'm a fan of the network. I decided to listen in and give it a try. The guys broke down the teams and helped me hit on a 4-team parlay. Definitely going to be tuning in more often to keep the train rolling. Hard enough being a Homer and Sharks fan. Haha. Good work. Let it ride, Lou.
Well, Lou's sure, got a tough goal being a Sharks fan, bro, so we'll give him some credit.
I'm sure Joel loves the parlay he hit, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is the guy that tweeted on us, too. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good for him, man. He fucking did some good shit. That's cool.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Lou. I'm glad you found us and you're going to keep listening. Everything to do just helps the show.
Shout out Lou Dog, bro. All right, everybody, go check out the Sports Gambling Podcast Network website. That's the place to be, especially with the World Cup around. If you're a soccer guy and you like that, you can go there and read all the stuff and listen to all the shows and get some information about the World Cup. That's pretty cool, as well as all the other sports, man. Fucking football, college football, NBA, college basketball, hockey, everything else that's going on in the world of sports. There's a show about it, bro. Shout out the Toronto Argos for winning the Grey Cup. As well, shout out to all of our friends and pals in the Discord. Discord's been absolutely on fire lately. Good to see. And we're gonna keep it building, man. Like, fuck, get your friends in the Discord. If you got buddies that are like, oh, a big degenerate or something, fucking get them in the Discord, man. Let's go. Fire it up. Pump those numbers up.
And if you're on Twitter, Twitter might be dying soon. Join the Discord. Get all our picks. Get some good hockey conversation going in there. So yeah, make sure you get into the Discord.
All right, everybody. Speaking of Twitter, my name is Talon Jenkins. You can find me on Twitter at Talon_Jenkins94.
I'm Ryan Gilbert. You can find me on Twitter at RGilbertSOP.
I'm Joel Meyer, and you'll find the Flames currently 1-0 up against the Flyers. Lick my berries, Ryan.
Tank.
Peace.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.